Sagemont Church is a gathering of Christian believers in the southeast area of Houston, Texas. Today's message is from our senior pastor, Dr. John D. Morgan.
Well, today I'm going to start a new series, and I'm excited about it. I believe that it's going to be one that you will find to be very helpful in your life. It's certainly being helpful in my life as I think about through the past few weeks and as I have tried to plan this series. I think it's something that every person will be able to glean from each message some practical, biblical things that will really help you along the journey of life. I'm entitling the series, Defense, Defense, Defense. I wonder where I got that from. You know, yesterday as I went out to watch my grandson play football, I thought the game was at 1. Well, it really started at 12:30, so I was late getting there. And as I approached the stands where my grandson's fans were, you know, the home team yesterday. As I approached from the rear, I couldn't see the field, but I could hear our crowd. Defense, defense, defense. I didn't even want to look at the scoreboard. Because, you know, when you hear that, there could be a problem. There could be a problem. Defense, defense, defense. So we're going to go into the book of Ephesians this morning, and one of our key verses in the series will be the 6th chapter of Ephesians, verses 10 through 18, and I want you to look at this carefully with me this morning. I want to welcome those that watch on the internet. May the Lord bless you today as we just look into the Word and try to find some things that are relevant and things that are true and helpful as we go through the journey of life. As we, this week, almost every person here has seen how quickly life can change to death. The whole world has witnessed already 10 people die this week, and 2 of those air show plane crashes, 9 in one in the other. How quick a man can be interviewed and not know it's his last interview, and those can sit in the VIP section not know that it may have been the worst seat to possibly been in the entire gathering. Life changes quickly, and it doesn't take very long for what looks to be a victory to be the agony of defeat. And we just pray that we will be urgently involved in trying to just share the good news of Jesus Christ, not knowing what another day is going to bring. So today we're in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to read to you from the 10th verse through the 18th verse. And I hope you'll mark those in your Bible to refer to often during the week as we think through this series of defense, 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 knowing that an offense is the greatest thing as far as in sports, that a good offense can overcome a bad defense. But sometimes, if it's offense, 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 and no defense, surprises can happen and defeat can come. So we're going to look at that. Let's all stand together. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Reading from the King James translation, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, Take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. May God bless the reading of His Word. Would you be seated, please? Have you ever witnessed a football game that went something like this? The home team is in the last quarter and the last 2 minutes. And the offensive team takes the ball and marches down the field. And in a series of plays, they are able to score and take the lead. And there's only a few seconds left, maybe 8 seconds on the clock. And the cheerleaders are going crazy, and the team that now leads is ecstatic, and they're screaming and hollering, and they're celebration, and everything is just going great. Only 8 seconds left, and they kick off. And the opposing team catches the ball on about the 3-yard line and carries it untouched into the end zone, and the thrill of victory becomes the agony of defeat. Because for maybe 8 seconds, they dropped their defense and they did nothing but celebrate the offense. You see, the scripture says the devil goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. As we're going to learn in this series, that if you're an offensive Christian and you don't know how to play defense, you can get in serious trouble. If you think that it's all about what you do and what you're involved in and staying busy and never understanding how quick the devil can destroy you and lead you into things that you could not imagine possible. The scripture says, talking about offense, it says, "Go you therefore, run with patience, follow me." I mean, offense is throughout the Bible. The Great Commission is, "Go ye therefore to the uttermost part of the world." There's no question that Jesus teaches us to follow Him and move forward. But all the time, there is also in the scripture the teaching of defense, defense, defense. I want to set up the situation for the series today. This morning is sort of like the pregame show in a football game or sports activity. We have two teams playing. We've got Satan and his demons, and we've got God and his children in warfare. And the demons of Satan have infinite experience. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Throughout all of time, the demons of hell have been involved. But for us, even those that live the longest, life is but brief and soon will be past. Our experience is not that lengthy compared to the experience of the enemy. And if we think for just a moment, we can come up with the record. You know, the commentators will often talk about the record of each team, how they've done. Well, here's the record. Satan was defeated by Jesus at the cross. And in every encounter Satan ever had with God, he lost. Jesus is undefeated. Jesus is. But also the record will show that many followers of Jesus have a one-loss record. They have seemingly got it together and think that everything is fine, and they lower their guard and they don't realize that Satan is organized and goes about as a wild animal to literally destroy the children of God. Just a little window of opportunity. I think Satan is a lot like the dictator who says, I'm still in control, I'm still in control, I'm still in control. But he's not. Satan is not in control. But he'll make you think he is in control. In fact, he will put such things in your mind as everybody is doing it. Yeah, he controls everybody. There's nobody that can live righteous. There's nobody that can live as God wants them to live. That's just a fantasy. That is impossible. Impossible. But when you realize, and I realize, that we have an enemy. We have an offensive enemy, and he is out and determined to deceive us to believing the wrong thing about his power. Should I say his lack of power is what you need to learn, that he that's in us is greater than he that's in the world. Yes. And he deprives us of the privileges that we have of serving God. He also destroys our effectiveness as a servant of God, and he denies us the rewards of God, both here in this life and in the life to come. And the truth of the matter is that Satan has a detailed game plan to destroy every one of us. Right. I mean, he knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows our weakness. If you're a compromiser, he knows that. If you are naive, he knows that. But Paul writes this to the Ephesians and says, I want to get you ready. I'm going to coach a little defense. I'm going to tell you to put on the whole armor of God, and we'll talk about that as the days come. But I want you to put this on so that you will be ready, so whenever the offense comes from the enemy, you will stand firm in the Lord and the power of his might. And you will be able to stop the enemy in his tracks. The word wiles of the devil, that word in the Greek is associated with the methodical stalking of a wild animal, likened to a lion. And that the devil goes and takes opportunity to attack in a very calculated way. You know, the lion likes to go to the water hole. You watch Discovery, watch where they usually encounter their prey. I think the devil goes to the water holes here every Friday afternoon, all up and down the roads, as men are bringing their paychecks in to spend much of it in the watering hole. And before they go home, they already have had some major changes in their personality and their thinking ability, and the temptation is everywhere. I mean, it's just a fact of life. But the devil has a plan, but I got a secret for you this morning. I have gotten a hold, and I am in possession of Satan's game plan book. And if you don't have one, there's one right by you somewhere, so you might as well pick it up. This is his game plan. Now, if there's any good scouting, you go out and you find out, how does the enemy operate? For 50 years, I have watched Satan operate as a pastor. I know how he does. I know how he performs. I've watched him practice, and I've watched him play the game. He is not beyond figuring out. He is predictable. He is one that, according to the scripture, this book has all of the ploys of Satan in it and how to stand against them. But of course, a lot of us don't have time to read it because we are busy with more important things. But if we know what he's up to, listen, let me tell you something. When a defense knows what the offense is going to run, they don't have a chance if the defense is strong. All you got to know is what's the play. Read it. Why do you think they go around like this, these coaches, you know, on television? You know, you see them, they're always putting up their to their mouth. You know why? Because we don't want you to know what we're fixing to do. Because if you find out, we don't have a chance. Listen, the devil can't hide it. God has revealed him. He has put his ways down here. All you've got to do is recognize the setup. Recognize what it's like when they come to the line of scrimmage. This is what they're going to do. Get ready. And they don't have a chance. I want to give you two or three strategies this morning. A brief time that we have. Let me give you one of the strategies of the devil that's very, very clear. And that is that Satan is out to discourage you. And by discouraging you, he is going to develop a strategy to try to keep you from worship. To where you don't even know what worship is. You don't understand that if Satan can just discourage you and keep you from worshiping God, he is in a major position to knock you down. Right. Have you ever been asked why God created Satan? Now, if you've been around a long time, you can answer it like this. It's a mystery of God. Which is a spiritual way of saying, I don't have a clue. Why did God create Satan? Could I just give you a possibility? Satan is the strongest creature that God ever allowed to exist. And with all of his intellect, with all of his power, with all of his wealth, with all of his abilities, he could not stand against God. He could not. And if we will understand that same thing, that God can knock Satan flat on the ground, just come around my end. If you're the linebacker, just come. I'll show you Satan. The strongest thing that ever came against God never won one game. We're not as strong as Satan. And we, with God in us, is stronger than anything that's out there in the world, including Satan himself. We have the opportunity to witness how, in watching Satan, how God deals with rebellion. Does he tolerate it? No. Does he love his children? Yes. Can we trust God to keep his promises? Of course. Who is the better master to serve? Satan or God? Who is it that says, I just thank the sweet old devil for what he's done for me, as opposed to those that say, I just thank the Lord for what he's done for me? If Satan cannot possess the souls of God's people, which he cannot. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. No weapon is formed against us shall prosper. We're in Christ and the Holy Spirit and the Father surround us. So he cannot possess the souls of the redeemed, but what he can do is turn us against God and ignore God and not spend time with God or in his word, and by doing that, he is setting us up for the last moment destruction. If Satan can get you discouraged, you'll become vulnerable to every other act in Satan's repertoire. Are you discouraged today? Are you down? Have you told anybody recently, I'm kind of down on my luck? Things aren't going good. I just really been tired recently, and sometimes I just want to run off and hide and all those kind of things. I guess the chief guy is Job. You remember in Job 1:1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright. and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And then as we watch the story, God released him to Satan. The 8th verse of Job chapter 1. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" God calls Job to the attention of Satan. That first verse is, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil," and said, "Go get him. Let's see if you can discourage Job. Let's just see. Okay, you've made a threat. You know, you have made your call. You've played your hand. You said everybody is doing it. I want to show you a man that's different. Now go check him out." The 12th verse said, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only upon himself put not forth your hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." The story continues. In the 2nd chapter, in the 9th verse, Job's wife speaks. "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." This is after he'd lost all of his wealth, his health, his family. Everything he had is gone. His wife comes and said, "Just curse God and die." That wasn't a very encouraging day for him. That wasn't a very encouraging statement from his wife. But it didn't affect him one iota. Here's what Satan was trying to do. He was trying to convince Job that his God was not worthy of his worship. Your God is not worthy of your worship. Look what he did to you. You prayed and your prayer wasn't answered, and the children died anyway. The money left anyway. The doctor says your body is a wreck. Why would you worship a God like that? Why would you do that? In Job 13, verse 15, Job said, "If he slays me, if he slays me, yet will I trust him. And I will maintain my own ways before him." What were his ways? They were the ways of God. "I will not grow discouraged. I will stop." And when Satan comes, Job could claim the promises of Romans 8, 28, "For we know that all things work together for good to those that love God and are the called according to his purpose." I was sitting in a restaurant this week. Lady, knowing that I was a preacher, a waitress came over and spoke to me about how discouraged she was. She had had a car wreck, no insurance, family was involved, daughter was hurt. She was going to another church in town, and she said, "I've been listening to all the praises and the promises, and everything was going to be fine and so forth." And she said, "You know, that's not true." And she said, "I'm so discouraged." I said, "Sit down here for just a minute." And I tried to teach her Romans 8, 28 in about 2 minutes. "For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God." Just love God. Just keep your guard up. Stay strong. Defending yourselves from the discouragement of Satan. There's another strategy he uses. Not only does he discourage us and try to keep us from worshiping God, but he also will distract us from serving God. He will try to get us to ignore God. If we won't reject God, then just ignore God. Do not get involved. This is what happens. Here are the symptoms. I had rather watch television or play games on the internet than read God's word in my spare time at home. I had rather pay more attention to the business channels and the financial reports from television than to read God's word about how to handle finances and how the God that owns everything says, this is the way I want to manage. This is my promise. This is the person that ignores God by becoming so consumed with your job and your hobbies that you do not have time to serve. I'm just too busy. That's my golf day. That's my fishing day. That's my shopping day. That's my ball day. I got season tickets. Nothing wrong with season tickets. But don't let it keep you from serving God. See, when you are serving, when you're involved, you look at things from a different perspective. When you're down on the playing field, it's different from being up in the stands. Big difference. But a lot of people just want to sit in the stands. And oftentimes, as far away as possible from what God is doing. 2 Timothy 2:4 says, no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. One of the ways the devil will get you discouraged and set you up to hit you on the blind side is for you to come to that point, I'm too old to serve, I'm too tired to serve, I'm too busy to serve, and on and on. In Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15, we don't have time to go there, but that's a parable of the ground. You remember, good ground, thorny ground, rocky ground, all of that. That's the way the words fall. They fall. But some fall on good ground. And those that fall on good ground are those that get involved in what the Lord is doing. But instead, we worry. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but love and power and a sound mind. Yeah. Well, I'm just worried. The Lord would say, stop. Matthew 6:25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Those that don't worry may become, maybe materialistic might be your problem. Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. He'll hate the one, love the other, or else he'll hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. While some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and they've pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So you can worry, you can become materialistic, and you can become lovers of pleasure. 2 Timothy 3:4 says, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Oh, it's easy. Real easy. Real, real easy. Strategy number three, and the last one I'll give you this morning, is Satan will deceive us into disobedience. He will deceive you into disobedience. That's what he did to Adam and Eve. He came to them and said, you do this, and you'll be like God. I know what God told you, but you do it my way. And you will have everything you want. Don't look for a godly man. Don't look for a godly woman. Just find a good-looking man or a good-looking woman, and everything will be fine. It doesn't matter. That's the kind of deal. Doesn't matter what you do. Just, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may be dead. And you go after pleasure. And then you become disobedient. And you begin to come up with a strategy of not much, but just a little, because everybody again is doing it. Have you ever known a Christian that's been deceived? Have you ever known a person that served God for 30, 40, 50 years and fall? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I know a bunch of them. Some of them are preachers. Some of them are business people. Some of them are politicians. Some of them are just hard-working people. But one day, they put down their defense. One day, the seduction of the opposite sex caused them to stumble and fall. James 1:14 says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." When you quit serving God, when you quit obeying God, when you quit worshiping God, you are set up for defeat. You are set up for the last mile of the run to be the one through which you're destroyed. That person you know, you think they plan to fail? You think they plan to fall? Do you think that that was really part of their overall game plan for their life is to, you know, I'm going to wait to the end and then I'm going to fall? No, not a one. You know, Satan is a master fisherman and hunter. I mean, he's a hunter and he's a fisherman. Hunters like wild game calls, camouflage, blinds, GPSs, feeders, cameras, you name it, to go get their quarry. Fishermen go into Academy, go to Gander Mountain, go to Bass Pro, go to Cabela's. They got rows and rows and rows and rows and rows of fishing bait. If they won't hit this one, they'll hit that one. Let me tell you something. Satan's store of baits could make those people look like they just went into business. He has got multiple baits. He has a lot of blinds and a lot of camouflages, but listen to me. Corrupt desire plus a right bait plus a wrong choice will equal sin. And Satan hangs that bait out there, and just like the fisherman, the presentation of the bait. When the hunter doesn't get his quarry, he changes strategy. He may even change locations. The fisherman changes bait and the presentation of that bait. The football team changes its plays. And in our life, Satan does it all. He is out to destroy us. To destroy us. And we're most likely to fall when we become bored. No purpose to exist. Waiting on God to come take us home. Or when we experience success. I talked to a person this week that's been extremely successful. And I looked them right in the eye and I told them, I said, be careful. They're a new Christian. They become extremely successful. I said, be careful. The devil is roaring mad. I said, I beg you. And I caution this man in Samaria's. We're alone. That's another time. When we're alone. That's the reason Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. I listened to Billy Graham's daughter last night on Huckabee. As for 15 minutes, she talked about the signs of the times and the coming of the Lord. The scripture says it's important for us to get together. Yes. Oh, yeah, it is important to come to church. Oh, yes, it is. Amen. Don't go wade fishing by yourself, okay? I went wade fishing the other night with one of our deacons out behind our house in the dark. We were out there and we were catching fish right and left. And I said, Mike, I hear wind coming. I don't hear very good. I used to hear rattlesnakes, don't hear them anymore, but I can hear the wind. I have now figured that out. I said, the wind is coming from Galveston. I said, we better hook them. I said, you head for the house, I'll go cut the light off on the pier, and I'll meet you somewhere between. And by the time I got to the bank and cutting the light off, the waves had gone from totally flat to where the water was like here, it became here, the waves coming and hitting us, that kind of thing. I'm telling you, it can change quickly. Quickly. Good to have your buddy, the buddy system, okay? That kind of thing. We're alone, That causes it. And then let me give you a final one when we start making wrong choices. And we set up the wrong defense. Oscar Wilde, the playwright, listen to this ridiculous statement. The only way to get rid of temptation is to yield to it. Is that one of the most ridiculous things you ever heard a grown man say? Romans 6:6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Jesus was tempted. Did he yield? In Hebrews it says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but, talking about Jesus, in all points was tempted as we are, yet without sin. You get the right defense, and no offense will ever knock you down from Satan. What is the defense? That's what we'll be talking about coming up. Put on the armor of God and stand firm, knowing who's going to win. Satan has never defeated the Lord. And spirit-filled believers that are filled with the Holy Spirit, the scripture says, he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. Just a thought as I close. You remember when Jesus was baptized? You remember how he was taken out into the wilderness by Satan? Do you remember how Satan tempted him? As I tell people when I baptize them, after you're baptized, you just get prepared. You are going to be tempted. You are going to be tempted in 24 hours. I will guarantee you it happened to Jesus. It's going to happen to you. And the devil ran every play, every offensive play that he had at Jesus. And he stood spotless. He stood on the word of God. And Satan left defeated. Therefore, Romans 6:4 says, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. I hope you'll come back. I hope you will walk through these days of defense. 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 See where you're vulnerable. Think about it. Think about your schedule. Think about what you do. Think about who you run with. Think about the way you dress. Think about the way you talk. Think about what you appear to be to people when in reality, I'm just kidding. I'm a Christian. I wouldn't even think about doing that. You've already thought about doing it. That's the reason you're doing some of those things. Defense, defense, defense. When you watch it on television, you're flipping that dial, you come across defense, defense, stop for a minute, and you'll see they're in trouble. They realize if we don't stand strong, we're going to get defeated if we don't play defense. It's not all offensive. Let's pray. The only way that you can ever even start to defend yourself against Satan is to get Jesus in you through the Holy Spirit. No other way. No other way. You can't read enough books, do enough good deeds, give enough money, attend enough meetings. You've got to invite Jesus Christ into your life. Have you ever done that? Have you ever done that? You say, yeah, I was baptized. I didn't say, were you baptized? Yeah, I joined. I didn't ask you to join the church. I said, have you ever invited Jesus Christ to come into your life? Yeah. Is he still the man upstairs, or is he the Savior that lives within you? As we close our services, we always open up our connection center lobby right over here to the left. And there's a nice, quiet place for you to just go, and there'll be some of the most wonderful men and women that you ever met in your life in there to talk with you and to pray with you and share with you and give you whatever you might need to help you in whatever decision you're going through. No pressure at all. I beg you not to join this church until you know what you're getting into. But don't you walk away till you know what you're walking away from. Jesus will stand the close-up test. Yes. But some of you just have never seen him for who he is. You've seen Christians and you're not too encouraged. But you'll find no fault in him. And it's all about where Jesus is in your life as to whether you win or lose. He has the weapons to defeat Satan. And we'll talk about those. But you'll not receive any of those unless you give your heart and life to him. Father, I pray now that you'll help us in this moment to just know what you want us to know and to do what you want us to do. And I pray, Father, for those that are here in this service, those that watch on the internet, that are really struggling in some of the issues of life. Health is not good. Finances are in shambles. Relationships are not what they desire them to be. And decision making would indicate there's something lacking. And they keep on doing the same thing they've always done. They still have what they've always had. So God, I pray you'll just speak as only you can through the Holy Spirit to those present in person and those that will listen and watch. And may victory be celebrated. Because not only were we offensive and good on the offense and faithful on the offense, but we were strong on the defense. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We pray that today's message has brought you to a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. Join us Sundays at 8, 9:30, and 11 a.m. at Sagemont Church in the Worship Auditorium. For more information, check us out on the World Wide Web, sagemontchurch.org.